Okay, well, it's time to begin, so let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you've given it to us. Lord, it's our instruction book, and you want us to understand it, to read it, to obey it. Lord, help us to do that very thing. I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to each and every one of us as we have need this morning. And Lord, as we understand your word, and help us, Lord, just to rightly decipher the word of truth. And again, Lord, I pray that I speak nothing that is heresy, nothing that is wrong. And Lord, I'm asking for your help and get your guidance, Lord, to keep me from saying things that are false. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we're going through the parables right now. And last week, we spent the entire hour on the parable of the sower, sowing a seed, talking mainly about the soil, the condition of the soil, which is the condition of the heart, the seed being the Word of God is being spread, and just different conditions to where that seed fits. And some of it fall on stony ground, some of it on fertile ground. And anyway, And these parables, there's actually about four different sets of parables, and they all kind of go in pairs. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares, and which kind of just goes right along with the one about the sower and the seed. And like I say, there's three others coming that they're all kind of going tandem. They continually get shorter and shorter and shorter. In fact, some of the parables, the last two, there's just about one verse long. So anyway, but they all have a significant message. And Christ is speaking in parables at this time. So to get started, let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 13. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll read verses 24 through 30. And then following that, we'll read, continue on in verse 36 through 43. And so Jesus gives a parable in 24 to 30, and then he gives the explanation, verses 36 to 43. So who'd be willing to read those verses for us this morning? Delbert? Okay.
Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Then the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to them, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' They said, 'No. Lest while you gather the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them out, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
Okay, now do 36 through 43.
And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Okay, thank you, Delbert. Okay, so we have the parable of the tares. Okay, in verse 24, got to flip my page back here. Good seed was sowed. So he's sowing good seed in his field. And verse 25, But then tares were sowed among it. The word tares, I'm not unfamiliar with this, but maybe some of you farmers or a lot of you people might be, but I guess it's basically what we know as a product called darnel, a weed called darnel. Are you guys familiar with that? Well, I've never heard the term before, but I guess it's very similar to that. And I guess it's a common, darnel is a common term for it today. And its amazing property is that you can't tell it apart from wheat. It looks exactly the same until the head finally matures. So the two look identical. You can't tell them apart. And it talks about the enemy sowed tares among the good seed, okay? The word among is a very strong Greek expression. It means he sowed it all throughout. It was heavily sown, you know. And so why did this guy do it? Okay, it tells us he was an enemy, okay? Back then, the practice was common enough. Again, this is kind of a common practice. If you got mad at your neighbor, you sowed tares in his field. You sowed this darnel. You don't went out in his field. You're wanting to destroy him. Do that. Destroy his crop. You know, or you get even, whatever, okay? Back then, the practice was common enough so that the Roman government had a law against it which prescribed a certain kind of punishment if you did that. They made laws for it. It was such a common thing. So apparently the people Jesus is speaking to, they know exactly what Jesus is teaching here, okay? That was really a great way to ruin your neighbor. Just oversow his field with weeds, in other words. You can't tell it apart from wheat. It looks exactly the same until the wheat head finally matures, or until the head finally matures. And then verse 27, the servants of the householder came. That is Christ's ministers. Okay, now this is a parable, and it's talking about, okay, and we're going to see that Christ, in this particular case, Christ is the one sowing the seed. In the parable of the soils, the sowing the wheat, the sower, anybody could be the sower. In this particular case, we're going to find it's Christ, okay? So the servants of the householder came, that is Christ's ministers. It was common to have a few weeds scattered throughout a field, just like we have today. It was common practice. But they were shocked because the field was full of it, you know, just full of tares, you know. And they came to the master and they said, "Man, you sowed good seed, so why do we have all these tares out there?" This expresses a surprise, disappointment, and anxiety of Christ's faithful servants at the discovery of false brethren among the members of the church. This thing is talking about the church. It's talking about several different things. This parable covers a multitude of different areas. And that's kind of what it's... So we can have false brethren among the members of the church. And the Bible talks about that in several different places. You know, false people. Anyway, verse 28. And the master said, "An enemy hath done this." This wasn't done by you guys. An enemy did this. It's not your fault. You know, he's taking the pressure off of his servants. "These are kind words from a good farmer, honorably clearing his faithful servants from the wrong done to his field." Hey, guys, it's not your fault. You didn't do it. An enemy did this, okay? So they ask him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" Hey, you want us to go out and gather up the tares? Compare this with the question of James and John, okay? Back in Luke 9:54, they say, "Lord," there's some guys made fun of somebody, okay? All right. "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume these Samaritans?" I mean, they're ready to, you know, hey, let's zap them. And this kind of zeal is usually a large mixture of anger, okay? Anger goes along with this type of thinking, okay? But verse 29, "But the master said no." It will be done in due time, but for now, it is not your business. You know, it's not your business to do that. Don't worry about it, okay? Nothing could be more clearly or forcibly teach the difficulty of distinguishing the two classes. And again, this is talking about false, and it's, again, it's a comparison of false teachers, false people within a congregation, and this type of thing. In verse 30, it says, let them grow together. That is in the visible church. In the visible church, there's going to be a mixture of both saved and unsaved within a church, okay? We're not to try to uproot the false or the counterfeit followers for fear we may destroy some of the genuine. We are to let them grow together until the harvest. Until the harvest. That means till the ones have ripened for full salvation, the others for destruction. Again, as a comparison, we'll see that as we go ahead. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. Okay? Then after that, now I guess this is comparing the judgment. Okay? Separating the saved from the unsaved. It's all kind of a parallel held together. Then after that, gather the wheat, which is the true believers, into my barn. The harvest will be the time of Jesus' second coming back to this earth, when the unbelieving will be purged or taken away. And just to kind of take a look at that, let's just flip over a few pages to the right. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Just going to kind of be talking about the end of the age, about the harvest that he's talking about here. So after the second coming of Christ, he's returned. And we'll read Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. And who'd read those for us? We'll take a look at what Jesus is talking about here. Well, I can't call on Royce. He's not here. So, okay, I see Tracy there. 36 to 44, yes.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah, for as those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house is known, and if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed the house to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. Okay, so in summary, as we're taking a look at this, the sowing of the tares. In summary, we affirm that Jesus Christ is the King of this earth. And within that kingdom, the Lord Jesus obviously allows Satan a certain amount of freedom. God's got Satan on the end of a leash, but Satan, he's got a lot of latitude. God cuts him quite a bit of slack, okay? But he's on the end of that leash, and he can't go any further than what God will allow him to. He allows sinners a certain amount of freedom. And yet, over it all, he is still the king. He is still ruling. He's still in control. A lot of times we take a look at this world and the chaos, the stuff going on. We think, man, the whole world is going down the drain, you know. And yet, at the same time, God is still in control. He is allowing these things to happen. And, I mean, he is allowing these wars to happen. He's allowing all of these atrocities. He's allowing it to happen. And we keep wondering, why, Lord? Why are you doing this, okay? But yet, he's got a plan. He's in control. He makes no mistakes. And we just have to accept it and trust and just keep on living for the Lord. And because one of these days we know that he's going to tighten up the noose. One of these days all things are going to be made right. But again, the Bible talked about in the end times, perilous times are coming. And folks, we're seeing perilous times right now. Things are an absolute mess and a disaster. But keep heart. He's still there. He's still in control. Everything is still on the end of his leash. He's allowing these things to happen. And things happening in your life, he allows things to happen, bad things, okay? And he's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's trying to teach us a lesson or whatever. And just he has a purpose to accomplish with it. And we just said, Lord, I don't understand this, but Lord, just help me to be accepting of whatever it is, whatever the outcome is. Help me, Lord, to remain faithful and just keep trusted and trusted and trusted in you, because he's got a perfect plan and we have to accept that. Can you mute me a minute, Dad? I was down in my shop yesterday making some what I used to call as a little kid board dirt. I didn't know how to say dust, so I just called it board dirt. And so my dad, it always tickled him that because my dad, he used to work in a shop and stuff, and he'd make a lot of board dirt. And so I was making some board dirt yesterday. And anyway, enough of that. Okay. Wherever the Lord plants his seed, his children, the devil comes along and plants his counterfeit seed, his followers, in among them. Okay? So what do each of the following represent? Okay? And he's kind of described this. The field represents the world. Okay? The good seed is actually the sons of the kingdom, the saved people. That's the good seed. The tares, that is the sons of the wicked one. The enemy is the devil, and the reapers are the angels. And Jesus has described that. And we just look through at the end of the time, you know, the harvest is going to come, separate the tares from the wheat. The saved from the unsaved will be purged out. The unsaved will go into the lake of fire, and Christians will move on into heaven. So, okay, we need to get back to Matthew 13 again. Okay. Okay, so it's talking about Satan's counterfeits. And I'm just going to, there's five references here, and rather than have each of us go to all five of them, I'm just going to call on five people to look up certain verses. But we're going to take a look, what are some of Satan's counterfeits that we can be aware of that the Bible talks about? So, first of all, there's counterfeit brethren, okay? And that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 25 and 26. And who would take that verse? Pastor? Okay, you, Pastor, you got 2 Corinthians 11, 25 through 26. Who would take... Well, as long as you're there, you take the second one too, okay? And that's going to be 13 through 15. And I can remind you of that one. It's actually backing up. Okay, who would take Galatians 1, 6 through 9? Okay, Lori? All right. The counterfeit gospel. No, that's, I just gave that. That's counterfeit gospel. Counterfeit churches, Revelation 2, 9. Who'll take Revelation 2, 9? Brad? Okay, and Pastor, I saw your hand go up over there. You have 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 9. And that's talking about a counterfeit Savior. So these are Satan's counterfeits. So first of all, we have counterfeit brethren. So Pastor, your verses.
That's
11, 25 through 26.
Okay. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very... Well, anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Whoops.
Just making sure.
2 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26.
Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
Okay, the last one is what we're looking for. There's perils of false brethren, okay? And folks, they can be mixed all throughout everything. There can be some here in this church, okay? We're going to be talking more about that. And so, Paul has mentioned the fact that he's having a battle with false brethren, okay, and among the church, okay? Okay, now counterfeit ministers. Pastor, you got that. And that's 11 through, or that is 11, 13 through 15.
For such are the faults of our false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Okay. There's false ministers out there. Okay. And we need to be aware of that. We know that there's some, they do not preach the truth. And yet they got huge congregations, people flocking after him, okay? False ministers. Okay, now there's such a thing as a counterfeit gospel. And that's Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Who's got that?
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
And folks, the reason we're taking a look at that, these are things that Christ is telling us, be aware of these things, okay? So we've talked about false brethren, false ministers, false gospel. Now counterfeit churches. Revelation 2:9.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. Okay. And then a counterfeit savior. So there's people claiming to be Christ. The Bible tells us there's going to be some coming, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 9.
A new King James says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders.
That's actually referred to the Antichrist, but there is other there's other verses that talk about all these different things. But there will be counterfeits. So it talks about counterfeit brethren, counterfeit ministers, counterfeit gospel, counterfeit churches, and a counterfeit savior. And there's probably some other verses that I could have picked that could have talked more about, you know, other than that. But that's talking about the Antichrist there. But he will definitely be a false minister. One of these days, there's going to be a one-world religion, okay? And it isn't going to be worth a hill of beans, but it's coming, okay? The Bible says there's going to be a one-world church, a one-world government, and a one-world currency. I think I got that right. Okay, and it looks like we're headed toward that. There are so many signs now that we can see, the Bible talks about, that's coming in the end. Those things are happening. you know, it talks about the mark of the beast and stuff like that, and you have the thing either in your forehead or printed in your forehead or your right hand. There's places that that's being used today in some foreign countries, and it's actually being done. And these different scanners, and we're headed toward this at lightning speed. So Scripture's coming true. Okay, so question. When did the enemy plant the tares in among the wheat? And that's found in, back to Matthew 13, that's found in verse 25. I need to turn back another page. Okay. And so when did he plant the tares? While they were sleeping, okay? Folks, you think the church has been asleep lately? Yeah. I mean, a lot of this bad stuff, I mean, all these atrocities we see now, folks, a lot of it has happened under our watch, okay? And folks, the church is asleep. We need to wake up. We need to get with it. So he sowed the tares when they were asleep, okay? When we were not awake to the truth. And is there anything significant about that? We need to start standing up, taking a stand, and not let all this wickedness, this satanic stuff that's swarming across our nation, steamroll over the top of us. If we don't stand and take a stand, they're going to just keep right on trucking. And just so much evil in the world right now, and all this transgenderism and all this blood. I mean, it's wickedness. It's of the devil. Okay. And there's a number of writers in Scripture that has warned us considering these things, okay? And here's three more verses. I'd like to have three different people look these up, okay? Who'd look up Acts 20, verses 29 and 30? Delbert, who wants 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2? Pastor? Okay, and Jude 1:4. Jude is the first book right ahead of the book of Revelation. And there's no chapters in it. Anyway, Jude 4. John. Okay, John. All right. So, let's go ahead and read Acts 20, 29 through 30.
For I know this, that after my departure, savaging wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. That's Apostle Paul writing this. And he's saying, hey, it's when I'm gone, there's going to be some bad stuff infiltrate your church. It's coming, okay? 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Okay, again, warning, it's coming. Okay, and in Jude 4.
For certain persons have crept in unnoticed who were long beforehand marked out for condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God, our God, into sensuality and deny our only Master, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Thank you, John. Folks, the Bible's full of warnings, okay, about false teachers, false preachers, false everything. The devil's a counterfeit, okay? All right, pop quiz. Is Jim Gay capable of teaching false doctrine?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. Is our pastor capable of teaching false doctrine?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Okay. And folks, we all are vulnerable. And the devil, I mean, we can take a look at churches and things where were solid at one time, and now they've turned from the truth. You know, they bought into different things. Folks, it's happened all over. Can it happen in this church? Yes, it can, okay? We need to be aware of these things. I mean, we've seen the warnings here, and we need to be aware. And so, yes, I am very capable of standing up here and teaching false stuff. And I keep asking God, Lord, help me not to do that, okay? Help me not. Help me to teach truth. But again, I just be aware. So now how do you guys know if we're talking about the truth? What are you supposed to do?
Read the word for ourselves.
That's right. We need to be like the Bereans. Check it out. See if those things are true. Search the scriptures and know. And if I'm saying something wrong, I beg you, I implore you, come and tell me about it. Let's get it straightened out. Okay? So, and we are all capable of it. Now, we want to say, oh, no, I'd never do that. Well, there's a lot of these other people in the past said that too, and their church is a mess. So, so again, this parable here is kind of talking about the fact it is not our job to try to figure out who's saved and who's not. We're not the judge, okay? We're not. But the parable of the soils and the parable of the wheat and tares go together. The parable of the soils tells us, that's the one we had last week, okay? Tells us that this kingdom and there will be in the church those who believe and those who do not. Okay, in the second parable, which is the one we've had this morning, of the wheat and tares, we find that believers and non-believers will grow together in the church until the harvest that comes to the end. There's a lot of people that feel like I'm on my way to heaven. You know, I'm saved, I'm good, come to find out. And that's when the verse in the Bible says, you know, you see, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these wonderful things? You know, these are church people. These are people that are thinking they're serving the Lord. They're out doing their thing. And then Christ says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Can there be unsaved preachers preaching in a pulpit today? Yes. Folks, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Okay? So the nature of the kingdom is that it encompasses the good and the evil. The evil are not truly members of the kingdom, but they are enclosed within the rule of God, for he rules in the world, okay? And God allows these things to happen. But we need to be like the Bereans. We need to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, okay? So that ends the topic of the tares and the wheat. Any questions or comments about anything we've said so far before we shift gears? Okay, let's move on. Now we're going to talk about the parable of the mustard seed. I got pages trying to slide underneath the stop here. Okay, the parable of the mustard seed. Let's go ahead and read Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. And who'd read that for us, please? Brad?
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. This is kind of a hard one to understand, and I'm going to say at the outset, in my studies, you can run across people that say the parable of mustard seed is talking about a bad thing, and there's others who'll turn it around and say it is talking about a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so I was confused. I didn't know which way to go on this thing. So I contacted the ultimate expert, And that is our pastor. And he says that it is a thing of the bad, that it's a bad thing. Okay? And so that's the route we're going to take. So anyway, but there's other people that they say, oh, that's a good thing. So, all right. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs. Okay? And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This is added, no doubt, to express the amplitude of the tree. This thing is grew to be much, much bigger than it's supposed to. Okay? This is added, okay. Birds are attracted to its branches, both for shelter and for food. In the parable of this mustard seed. Upon investigation, a story, what unusual fact stands out about the mustard seed? Okay? This is unusual, for mustard is a herb and it grows into a large bush, not a big tree. Something has gone wrong. Something is abnormal. Something isn't right. What Jesus was seeking to tell us is that the growth of the church would grow to encompass more than it truly is. I mean, it's going to grow, it's going to be deceptive, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Meaning that there would be false growth within the realm of the professing Christianity. There's a false growth in the church, in the local church, okay? We have no reason to believe that birds are not any different from those in the parable of the sower, okay? Birds always represent a bad thing, okay? Why did Jesus say they were in it? Who did Jesus say they were in it, okay? The wicked one, the devil, okay? Birds represent the wicked things. Birds usually have a negative meaning in Scripture. The birds represent the devil's crowd, as it was in the parable of the sower. The seed is the gospel. The tares are the false believers. The church started out small and was sound doctrinally. When they first started, they were sound, okay? But it will grow big into what it was not meant to be, like the mustard seed. Later, and now, it has been growing big, but unsound doctrinally in many cases. Unsound doctrine has been creeping into churches today, okay? The church looks huge, but the genuine, true believers is not that. It gives a false impression, okay? Because the true believers is not that big. There's a lot of false brethren within the church, okay? Here's some examples of things that started out doctrinally sound and then went liberal, okay? The YMCA, okay? Started off as a Christian organization. They went south, okay? Harvard, you know, a lot of these big Ivy League churches started out very sound biblically, and now they're just wicked, okay? A lot of churches started out sound, and they went the wrong direction. Christian universities, Christian schools, many things. I mean, they started off small, but now they're growing big and flourishing, but then it's being infiltrated by things that are not right, by things that are not true and biblically sound. There will be false growth and false teachers. Expect it, okay? Jesus has said it will happen repeatedly in Scripture. There's going to be false things that are going to be popping up all over. The devil is alive and well. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus was saying in this parable that organized Christianity would eventually house a number of Satan's crowd. They would be at home within professing Christianity. They're at home there. They feel good there. And a lot of churches are accepting this type of thing. There's churches now today, hey, we just come, we're open to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what you stand for. Come, everybody's welcome. We greet you with open arms. And we don't care what your beliefs are or anything like that. We're looking for big congregation. They would be, okay. There is something that is mentioned in a number of other references in the New Testament. Oh, this is something that is mentioned in a number of other references in the New Testament. And our time is running out. Okay, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And again, I've already kind of alluded to all this, but I guess I've got it here. First Timothy 4, 1 and 2. And who'd read that for us? John?
But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience.
Okay. Talking there about in the latter times, those should become, you know, people are going to be departing from the faith. And today, most people, a lot of people going to church, but they don't want to hear solid doctrine. They want things that will tickle their ears. And let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, and read verses 2 through 4. And who'd read those for us? Pastor?
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears.
Okay, thank you. Again, the Bible's full of warnings about this. So, you know, we've only got 2 minutes, and we're getting ready to move into the next parable. Anybody have some things to add or any questions about what we've covered so far this morning? Okay. Just be aware of it. And folks, don't take what anybody says if because of who they are or what they are. We need to be aware that there can be and be looking for false teachers, things that just don't sound right. As we study the Word of God, somebody's saying something. You may be talking to your neighbor or things like that, but be on the alert for false teaching. So let's go ahead and close the word of prayer then. Dear Father, thank you for this lesson. Lord, thank you for the warnings. Help us, Lord, to be aware and be looking and be studying. And Lord, just to be on guard. And Lord, if there's false things start creeping into our church, Lord, help us to recognize it and to be able to deal with it in a proper manner. And Lord, just we need to be made aware that these things can happen in our church. It's happened in a lot of good churches too. And Lord, we need your help, Lord, in trying to be discerning and to be alert, and just to see these things could start creeping in our church. And a lot of times it comes very, very gradually, very slowly, and it just kind of happens, and people don't really understand what happened, and don't even know it. So, Lord, help us to be discerning. Help us to be Bereans, Lord. Father, I just pray that you'd be with our pastor this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Speak through him to us. And Lord, help us to have open hearts to receive the message he has for us this morning. And Lord, help us to be doers of the word. And Lord, not just hearers. So we're thankful, Father. We're thankful for this season, Lord, as we really reflect on the birth of Christ. And Lord, just what a wonderful, wonderful thing that was. Lord, without the birth of Christ, there would be no salvation for any of us. Without his death, without his resurrection, there would be nothing for us. Lord, it all hinged on him, our salvation. And we're so thankful, Father, for this season. So just help us, Lord, to make Christ be the main focus of our Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.